Psalm 121, and it reads like this. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore.
Our knees to pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in this morning and we are so thankful for this Sabbath. Thank you for your love and your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to encourage our youth. Please be with us as we celebrate them this morning and as we try to have a spiritual connection with you, O Lord. May your Holy Spirit be with us. Help us to come closer to you, O Lord. Bless every family, each youth individually, O Lord. I pray in your hands. May you be with us in this morning. Be with Pastor William as he speaks words from you in this morning. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Time is yours.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to march this whiteboard up here because I think it will be better for all of us to see it. It is so good to be here with all of you. My wife and family were actually in this campus a few years ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, at an event. I was a pastor at Milo Academy, and it's really great to be back. I love your church in the Valley View, very appropriately named. And this morning, I was able to hang out with the youth of our church, and I tell you what, church family, you guys have the best youth group on the planet. So you guys are pretty amazing. So it was really fun to spend time with them, and now we get to spend time together, all of us. And so imagine yourselves as an entire youth group, because no matter how old you are, you still have that child inside of you, right? Because we're all children of God. And so this is not just for the youth of our church. In fact, this is for all of us. And the message today, I am definitely sure, is for all of us because it's about revival. And it is an important and powerful message, and it's going to be good, not because of me, but because of the content. I mean, I want to sit where you're at, and I want to take notes because it's so good. So if you have your Bibles, you definitely want to open them up. And if you have some paper and pen, you might want to take some notes, because today we're going to have a different kind of message. I see that I'm comfortable in this because of what I've seen you do already. It's more of a teaching message than a preaching message. If you know the difference, there's going to be more interaction between us. And that's why I've got this whiteboard here so that we can get started and work on this together. So this morning, we are going to talk about the secret of revival. So I hope you can see this in the back. If you can't, then I do apologize. What are some words that we can associate to revival? This would be the opportunity for you to share. Don't be bashful. It could be from the front, could be from the back. What are some words that we can associate with revival? Because this is what we're talking about today. On fire. Okay, what else? Recommitment, okay? Anything else? Unstoppable. Okay, as we think, one of you might want to grab a One of you might want to grab an eraser for me. I don't have an eraser up here. We're going to need one for sure. Or something to wipe with. Unstable. Back to life. Boy, you guys have all kinds of good things. Back to life. Anything else? Prayer. What else is revival or reformation? Change for the good. What else? Refurbish. That's a good one. They're all good. Refurbish. Okay. Healing. Did you say healed? Renewal. All right. Very good. Anything else? Let's spend a couple more minutes on this, because as we talk about revival, this is not just a tag word, right? Like, oh, that's cool. That's spiritual. Let's put that up there and let's have a meeting about it. This is something that is critical to your life, right? This isn't, what is it?
On fire.
Good. We got that on here. You are definitely on fire. Okay. This is encouragement. Very good. Encouragement. Right. This is not just something that we put in a box on Saturday mornings and then we walk away from like, oh, that was nice. Revival. No, this is something that deeply influences your life every single day. So we've got to really understand what revival is because of how it impacts you. A couple more. Intense? Okay, intense what? What kind of emotions? What? Okay, religious. Intense emotions toward God, maybe? Toward God? Okay. Yes. Very good. Warrior. Okay, warrior for the Lord. Very good. We could spend an hour on this. You know, revival is joy. It's success. It's contentment. It's security, right? Revival is the ability to move forward in a positive way. Thank you very much. And so this goes beyond just religious emotions, as important as that is. It's a connection to God. But when you experience true revival, you experience something that fulfills your entire life. So it goes all over and it gives you all these things. So that is what we're talking about this morning. And I do want to pray over this. I know that we are in prayer already, so we don't need any more prayer. Actually, we do need a lot of prayer, don't we? So let's pray over this one more time. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will actually be communicating with you through this time together. So let's pray. Dear God, we can get in the habit of coming to meetings like this. Sabbath morning, we dress up, we perform. It feels good even. And that's all wonderful. But what we really, really need is a deep, real revival that completely transforms us from the inside out, that somehow changes us into children of God, where we don't just know it in our heads, but we feel it in our hearts, and it comes out into our actions. So this morning, Lord, do be with us and talk to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, very, very good. So this morning, I do plan to give you the secret to revival. And some of you might be thinking, oh, really? Secret? Yes. The formula for revival. This is not just a pretty statement. This is very, very true. It's the Magna Carta. It's the great charter of liberty in the kingdom. I'm building this up because it needs to be built up. In fact, this is so big, so incredibly big, that some people consider it the commandments of the New Testament. We have the Ten Commandments, as important as they are, because they are important, just as they are moral principles that never change, we have these commandments in the New Testament that are moral principles that never change, that if you do these things, if you experience these things, young people, you guys, if you experience them, you will have revival. You will have spiritual success. So what are they? What are they? You have heard them before, so it's not going to be anything new to start with, but these are called the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. So we're going to dig in deep this morning. There are 8 Beatitudes. We're going to do 6 of them this morning, and then in the afternoon, we're going to take care of 2 of them, okay? So open your Bibles with me to Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, and I'm going to invite my reader to come up here, and she's going to read for us the very first Beatitude. Yeah, you can use the mic. Sounds good. All right, my friend Sarah is my reader this morning. Let's get started. This is not a sermonic style again. This is a teaching opportunity. So that means you have to engage in a way that you don't sit back and entertain or get entertained. So in the back, I want you to be just as engaged. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Okay, very good. Repeat after me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, all right. Revival. That's the same as, how about this? Lasting happiness, right? One end. Happiness. Drop into the Beatitudes. What is blessed? What's another word for blessed? Happy. Okay, we're working on it now. If we want to know about revival, we want to know about lasting happiness, let's look at the Beatitudes and let's figure this out. Blessed are the what? Oh, wait a second. Don't be messing with me now. How can you be happy and be poor at the same time? This is very, very confusing. This is very counterintuitive. I don't know if I can buy into this, but Jesus says, aha, I got you. If you really want to be truly happy, then experience poverty in spirit. I'm still very confused, by the way, so I've asked the wonderful Valley View Youth to help us. They're going to have a charade-style series of skits here, about 60 seconds or so, and you're going to guess what that is. Now, don't guess before they're done. Wait till they're done, and then you shout out what you think it is. So, blessed are the poor in spirit. What is that all about? Come up here and tell us. Act it out. Yes, you guys are taking 60 seconds. Ready and go. All right. And amen or applause. I'm not sure which one we do here, but. Okay, what is it? 60 seconds are over. Amen. Amen. Very good. Amen. Okay, who was this? What story was this? The prodigal son. Very good. All right, have a seat. Good job. Good job. Prodigal son. Very counterintuitive, but the. If Satan were to write his own Beatitudes, he would say something like, blessed are the what? Rich in spirit. What's the other of spirit? Things. Rich in things. Because yours would not be the kingdom of heaven. It would be what? The kingdom of the earth. See the opposites? So, rich in things because the prodigal son will be rich in the things of the earth. So he goes and takes all the cell phones representing wealth, right? Because we cannot live with our cell phones, and now you have three of them. And so you go and you spend them all, and you lose all your minutes, and then you come back to your father because you have nothing left. Good job on that. So very counterintuitive, but you start by realizing that you have nothing. Now, Jesus incredibly gives us kind of a path to success. So this here that you see is like a mountain. This scripture this morning was, I look up unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And so he gives us this kind of analogy, like, I want you in life to be on a journey, and your goal is heaven, and I want you to have revival and lasting happiness. Here's how to do it. First step in the journey is poor in spirit. It's realizing I do not have any good thing that can give me salvation. That applies to you guys, right? When I was 16 years old, I gave my life to Christ. Long story, but I was at Sweet Home, Oregon. Anyone know where Sweet Home is, right? Sweet Home High School. And my first year there, I'd moved there from La Sierra Academy. I had bought some hiking boots because I thought all schools in Oregon had dirt floors. So there I go. And, oh, whoa, check it out, Oregon. Well, I identified with the Pacific Northwest. And this is my home, right? I was in Sweet Home, Oregon. And I was a brand new convert in school as a junior in high school. And I could not get away from my sin. It was inside of me. It was in my head. I would walk into school and the sin habits I had in my life continued. I'd already given my life to Christ. I had already said yes to Christ. And I was so stressed out. I was so worried that I was not doing what I was supposed to be doing. I wasn't following God. I had a revelation like, this is God. I want to follow him and his commandments. And I finally gave up. I gave up. I didn't give up on God, however. I gave up on myself. I can't do this. I cannot do this. First step to revival, poverty. Spiritual poverty. Even physical and financial poverty. I don't know. I don't care if you're Steve Jobs. He could not stop himself from dying from pancreatic cancer. Poverty. We do not have what it takes to have success or revival. That's the first step. This is a hard step for Seventh-day Adventist Christians. If you are here as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, because you've been taught all your life that if you do these things, the commandments, I'm coming to church on Sabbath, then somehow I can check that off. But we forget, we are only saved through grace for a reason, because we cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Happiness, revival is acknowledging what is true and real, not what is fake. It's not pretending, right? Youth culture, I'm going to smack contemporary pop youth culture quite a few times, maybe. Not real hard, but pop culture in general will teach you to be fake, right? This is not about that. This is real. I need God. I'm poor in spirit. I cannot save myself. What's the second one? Sarah.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Here's my trail, guys. I'm climbing. Oh, wait a second. I'm descending. Blessed are who? Are those who what? Mourn. For they shall be comforted. Very, very strange. How can you be happy and be sad at the same time? Doesn't work. Doesn't exactly work. Youth, help us out. We are confused. Come up here and tell us, or show us the charade, and we can guess on that charade. What does this mean? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Come up here and do it. They're discussing among themselves. Which one is it? This is Luke 18. Luke 18. You guys want to skip this one or want to do it? Okay, you're figuring out who has it. Okay, as you're figuring it out, as you're coming up here, we will, let me share with everyone a story, okay? Anyone here heard of the film Touching the Void? A documentary. Any mountaineers here? Anyone climb a mountain here? A big mountain, Mount Rainier, Mount Hood. These people were mountaineers. And they went to the Peruvian Andes. And they climbed a 20,000-foot mountain. As they were descending from the summit, one of the two climbers broke his leg. He slid and fell and broke his leg. And the other partner tried to belay him down this 20,000-foot mountain. As he was descending or belaying this person down, he went over an overhang, and he couldn't stop this man. So he couldn't unclip and start and descend and then clip again. So the only thing that he could do was to cut the rope. He cut the rope. The climber with the broken leg fell into a crevasse and survived. He could not get out of this crevasse in this mountain. He could not climb up. So he decided to do one thing. He was an experienced climber. He decided to go down deeper into the crevasse, because he hoped that as he went down deeper into this crevasse, that there would be a hole that he could come out of down at the bottom of the, more at the bottom of the mountain. And indeed, that is what happened. He started to descend this crevasse, and he saw some light eventually, and he came out of the hole into the mountainside and eventually made it to camp and survived. Sometimes, if you want to be revived, you've got to go which direction? Down. You've got to go down. Help us out. Okay, you're doing fine. All right. Okay, and amen. Any guesses? Oh, yes, the publican and the Pharisees, right? The Pharisee was like, oh, God, I'm so happy that I pay my tithe and I go to church, right? And the publican, what did he do? He did what? He mourned. And who went home justified? Who went home revived? Yes. You did. That's right, you did. Sometimes, before you can go up, you have to go down. You have to mourn. You have to feel it. You have to feel how bad it is because you're separated from God, because you have nothing to give, because you cannot save yourself. You have to be broken in spirit. You have to understand, God, I don't have it, and I feel terrible. I feel horrible. What does Jesus call that? The gospel of repentance. The gospel of repentance. You need repentance in your life. That is the essence of the gospel. I want you to watch this video here of a man who did not feel it. Take a look at this. Let's see if we can show that video.
A notorious Tri-State killer may spend the rest of his life in prison. Tyrell Webster was convicted of killing a man in East Price Hill, and as the victim's family asked for justice today, Webster was laughing at them. Andrew Setters has the story you will see only on WLWG tonight.
And he was taken from us on my brother's birthday, which hurts very, very much.
Yeah. As the victim's family shared their pain, yes. Tyrell Webster yes. smirked. Yes. Routine questions before sentencing got responses like this.
Do that matter?
Yes, it does.
Last spring, Grover Cleveland Watson Jr. was gunned down during an argument. Today, Watson's sister, who is legally blind, stood before Judge Jody Lubers and asked exactly where her brother's killer was standing so she could look at him as she spoke. Her initial offer of forgiveness?
But when I heard the story on the news, the first thing I did after I could close my mouth was just to ask God to forgive you because you didn't know what you were doing.
Turned cold.
Just so you know, he's laughing right now.
I really don't care about that because you know what? You laughing now, but the moment they get you behind those prison walls for the rest of your life, you will be somebody's girlfriend. And that smile will no longer be on your face. It will be tears.
The judge sentenced Webster to 18 years to life behind bars. From the Hamilton County Courthouse, Andrew Setters, WLWT News 5.
And unfortunately, we have seen this
Webster
type of dismissive behavior in court before.
Was laughing. He was laughing at killing somebody. That's me. That's me. When I don't care. When I hurt God and I laugh. And see, the message that Satan sends you in whatever way he sends you is, don't care. It's a chant. Don't care. Don't care. I don't care. Say it with me. Don't say it. But here's Satan trying to tell you. I don't care. I don't care. So you put on some music, read between the lines. It's saying, possibly, I don't care. Watch some films or watch some things. That's why you have to be very critical about what you see, because if the message is saying, I don't care, I don't care, there's a whole generation that says, I don't care! Laughing. Laughing. So Jesus says, blessed are those who care. Blessed are those who care. If you want revival, if you want lasting happiness, first you got to know you don't have it. And then you've got to care. Even when you don't care, God's Spirit puts it in you to care. Ellen White talks about this in Steps to Christ. She says, you can't even repent. It is the Holy Spirit that gives you the ability to repent. Let's go on to our third beatitude.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay, blessed are the meek. Students, there's a group of you. Tell us what this is all about. Ooh, a little bit tougher. A little bit tougher. Any ideas? Any ideas? What might that be? I'll give you a hint. One of them was Jesus. Another hint. One of them was Peter. Blessed are the meek. What would it be? This is where you take the corner. This is where you turn the switchback. As you're going down the trail, you're at a switchback, and now you start climbing. But at this switchback is, blessed are the meek. What's another word for meek? Humble. So here's Jesus, and here's Peter, and Peter was saying, I'll die for you. I'm not going to run away from those Romans. I'm willing to die for you. Was he being meek? No, he had something to give, right? Blessed are the proud. That would be Satan's beatitude. Blessed are the proud. He was proud. He could do it. And then what happened? What did Peter do? He ran away and he denied Jesus. Jesus died, resurrected. Now Jesus was with Peter, and Peter and Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? And how did Peter answer? In what spirit? Humbly, meekly. Blessed are the meek. So if we want to experience revival in our lives, if we want to have that connection with God, we have to come to that place in our lives where we're back to neutral. We might be going down, 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 but then we take that switchback and we're at neutral and we're like, okay, I'm not resisting. That's all God wants in your life. Meekness. Don't resist. Don't resist. Broken heart. I hate it. I'm not resisting. You don't even have the strength to do what's right. God gives you the ability to not resist. Just don't resist it. Blessed are the meek, for theirs is, they shall possess the land. For they shall possess the land. Let's move on. I know it's getting a little bit later, so let's kind of speed it up a little bit. The fourth beatitude.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. We move in our trail upward, and I lost my marker. I'll have to get that from right over here. Okay, blessed are the what?
Those who hunger and thirst.
Now you have it in gear. Now you have it in gear because you are now looking above the tree line and you're looking around and it's not all that beautiful. There's some beautiful trees here, but you also see the city and you also see the slums. You see the hurt and the pain. Now you're connecting with what God is about, with his character. The opposite would be, of course, blessed are those who hunger for corruption, those who hunger for injustice. Is that what you want in your life? Man, I don't want that in my life. I want to hunger for justice. I want to hunger for the things that are right. I haven't done anything good. I'm just feeling the desire to. My life is changing. I'm being revived. I'm being revived. I'm going from a very negative posture in life, me, 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 self-protection, self-defense, to now I want to bless other people and I want to do what is right. That's what I want for my life. Is that what you want for your life? Absolutely, I believe it. What is the next beatitude? Okay.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Here you move from wanting God's way to doing it. To doing it. It's not just something that you wish you had. You actually begin to do it. There's a book in the Bible that talks about this. It's the book of James. right? Don't just talk the talk, walk the talk. Us as Christians, we're easy to talk the talk, right? But then when we go away, are we actually walking the talk? I'll tell you a story, quick story. I was in Walla Walla University a couple weeks ago representing International Children's Care. That's who I work for. That's my mission and passion in life. Houdidis, that's how I met Houdidis and Hannah. They are a part of that ministry. Houdidis has lots of history in that ministry. I'm here representing orphans and people, kids who are, you know, in trouble and need help and all these different orphanages around the world. Well, I go back to my Motel 6 because that's really where I was staying. It was more like Motel 5.5. I go back there. It's a Friday night, and I'm thirsty, and I notice there's a Chevron in the back of the hotel. So I walk back over to the back of this hotel to the Chevron. There's cars filling up. There's the convenience store. I'm going to get a case of water. As I walk by a dumpster, I see a young man. His name is Peter, and, you know, Isaiah. His name is Isaiah. And he's just sitting there. He looks homeless. He's just sitting around pretending like he's on his phone, which is broken. I go get a case of water. I walk back, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, because God will speak to each one of us if we just kind of sink into his voice. And he's speaking to me saying, you're into orphan kids, right? Well, there's one right there. One orphan child. I don't know his story, but he's homeless. He's in need. And I walk right by him. I bring him the case over to my car at the Motel 5.5. And God convicts me, you know what? Not only do you hunger and thirst for justice, but you're going to go to the next one. You're going to actually be merciful, right? You're going to be merciful. And so I decide to walk back and sit down with him. And talk to him. Here's some scripting if you want to take mental notes on this. Because God wants you not just to be good looking, because you all are good looking, at church. He wants you to, in the moment, you can't practice, in the moment, do what's right. Don't miss that opportunity. I've missed a lot of opportunities, but thankfully this one I did not. I sit next to him, I say, hey, is it okay if I sit with you for a few minutes? There's a line. Sure. So what's your name? Well, my name's William. Why are you out here? It looks like you're having a hard time. He's homeless. He tells his story. Here's a transition question. So tell me about faith. Do you have faith? Well, I believe in God, but not in the church. Okay, a lot of people feel that way. I can understand that. But you know what? The Bible always talks about God in a really pure way. Do you have a Bible? He didn't have a Bible. So I said, I'll give you my Bible. So I went back to my motel. I got my Bible, and I gave it to him. I bought this Bible yesterday at the ABC at Gladstone because I didn't have a Bible. How many of you would love to give your Bibles away, right? Give them away. Blessed are the merciful. You're actually practicing it. You're doing it. You're God's hands and God's feet in a beautiful way. And then finally, for this morning, Sarah.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All right. I'm losing my markers up here. Can you tell? Here it is, the black one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. That means you made it to the summit. I've climbed these mountains like I told you. You're at the top of Mount Rainier or Mount Hood. You can see, it's so beautiful. You can see everything. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, if you thought about the opposite of this, if Satan was writing these Beatitudes, he would say something like, blessed are the impure in heart, for they shall see themselves as God, right? More like Darwinism, like just fight for your own survival, be your own God. But here God is saying, it's not just about hungering and being merciful, it's about experiencing God. In fact, James 1:27, the book of James, it says, pure and undefiled religion is this. What is it? Care for orphans and widows, be merciful, and keep yourself unspotted from the world. It's coming to a place of holiness, right? Of holiness. We can't just talk about doing nice things, as awesome as they are, but if you want real revival, you want to reach the top. Purity of heart. You want to get to a place where you're allowing God to take away these things that are in there. And I'm telling you, it can take a lifetime. Good thing, because that's all we've got on this earth. God will cleanse you, and it might take a long time. This is not something like you say, okay, I want this in my life, and you're done. No, this is going to continue on for your life as he helps you be pure in heart, as he helps you become like God. Isn't that beautiful? Having the character of God. We've reached the mountaintop. The last two Beatitudes take you back down to the valley, because you cannot stay up there if you're in this world. You've got to go back down to where the people are. So in closing, you have been amazing as we've walked through this together. I'm going to ask Huridis to come up here. And I'm going to, I know it's getting late. I know I've taken a long time. I think, are we supposed to end it at noon? Yes. You all hungry? Yes, you are. Well, thank you for being patient. This is such an important experience, though, for you to understand what it means to have revival. So, Huridis, you've got your guitar. Why don't I do this, Huridis? Why don't we stand up? Because we need to do it anyway, right? Let's stand up. And we've got these cards to pass out. You want to go ahead and do that? Okay. You're going to receive this card right here that says the secret to revival. And what the church family and the church leadership want, and what I want, is to be that place, be that church that helps us experience that. So if you want to write your name and information on here, we could collect these cards later, of course, but write that in there and ask Jesus to help you experience that revival in your heart.
As we close in and this morning, we want to ask the youth to come forth. Pastor William is going to pray for all of you. If you want to come forth also to just pray for someone else that you want to pray for, just feel free to come. We're going to close with My Chains Are Gone. And so we're going to sing together as you come forth. And then Pastor William is going to close in prayer.
Amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my hurts relieved. How precious things the grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are set free, my God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised
me. As we're singing, I'm going to interrupt. And if you really want to experience this revival in your heart, you want to continue the journey, I want to invite you to come up here. And as we sing this next stanza, come up here and join me to experience this kind of revival that is long-lasting. It's not an emotional high. It's something that God gives you to move forward in life. So let's continue singing. I'm going to stand here, and please join me.
The Lord has promised good to me. He swore my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be as sore as life endures. My chains are gone. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The shall soon be sold like gold. There's some forbid to shine. But God who called me here below will be forever mine. Will be.
Down. If you want to kneel with me, you can. Dear God, I know we've broken the time rule this morning, but I pray that that would not be a hindrance to your Spirit speaking into our hearts. There's so much that we need to understand, but this path, this trail that leads to your Spirit, to your heart, we want to be in this, God, and I don't know where everyone is right now, what place they're stuck in or what area they're having a problem with, God, but I pray that you will speak to each one of us, and as we're here kneeling down, we want to be people not just of one little spark, one little emotional high, one day a week. We want to be people that are extremely and absolutely genuine followers of Jesus Christ, that nothing will stop us from wanting You, we are so hungry for you, more hungry for you than we are for lunch right now, God. Help us to get to that point where we want you because you are the one and only truth, the life, the truth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for our youth here. Thank you for their energy. I pray for our church here that you will bless our, that the church will bless our youth, that they will continue to take leadership in this church. And that they will continue to be revival because of what you do here. We love you, God, and we pray all this in your name. We all say, amen. Amen. Amen.